You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. Leaving work in a mood? Time to change that with Overdrive.
Well, at least we tried.
Yeah, we're trying.
We'll Alan Malls think they're stomping us back
there. Al thinks he's so funny. Every week he thinks he's hilarious.
He's laughing. He's having a good time. You're going to die, clown!
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
It's all about these platform games, these statement games. Leafs, Lightning, two top teams in the National Hockey League. And the Leafs looking to replicate what the Raptors did last night. The Raptors roll into Golden State and lay a beating on the champs. Laid a beating on Golden State without Kawhi Leonard. And that is one of the best efforts I can remember any team putting forth against that team, let alone the Raptors. Regular season, they sweep the season series. This team is rocking right now.
I think if you're going to say that if you're Golden State, maybe come playoff time, they're not exactly going to have it in their memory bank saying, oh, man, these guys, maybe they're going to. But I heard you guys talk. It's big for Toronto.
Yeah.
It's big to say, oh, God, we can't play those guys because we've had a great season. We play them in Toronto. They crushed us. They crushed us in their own building. They didn't. And they won the game without their best player.
That's right.
Big. I love
it. No Kawhi. Like, and Golden State, Steph was there. He had nothing last night. Steph Curry brought nothing. He was a liability, which you don't hear or see a lot. Klay Thompson, nothing. Draymond Green, outside of dislocating Valanciunas' thumb, he was a complete non-factor. Durant got going a little bit, but the Raptors just smothered them defensively. And, you know, I thought.
Man. I'm just starting to feel like an Islanders fan. Like, things are going so good. They got a chance to win, but I can't get it out of my head. The article.
The ESPN article?
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, God, if they're going to have so much promise and so much hope going into the playoffs, and they go on a long run, possibly get to the finals, and then he leaves, God, I'll be pissed off.
It'll certainly be a stinger, but if they do all that, if they end up with 65 wins.
Don't even start to say that if they do all that, it'll maybe convince him to stick around here.
No, what I was going to say is they did everything they possibly could.
Right.
That's my point. If they rack up 65 wins, they go to an NBA final, and obviously they've made him feel very comfortable. They're not pushing him. Last night I felt like he probably could have played based on the reports, and they said, take it off. It's all good. We got you. And I think they've protected him well. That's all you can do. Right. That's all you can do is just put yourself and position where he's going to look at this team and say, you know what? They're not some goofball organization. This isn't some Mickey Mouse organization. The Raptors have put themselves on the map in terms of the way they conduct themselves. Right. Now, they got to prove it in the spring. And obviously, the jury is still out, and we'll see what happens come mid-April.
Yeah.
But based on the material we have so far, I think they've done everything they possibly could. Kawhi, let's say free agency opened today for some reason, and he left. He couldn't say, well, they're garbage. Oh, it's a Mickey Mouse organization.
Right. This other team has a better chance to win over the Raps. That's not true.
Outside of Golden State, even with what happened last night, you can't tell me any other team in the league has a better chance than the Raptors.
Right.
That doesn't mean that the Raps are going to steamroll anybody. Boston's
that doesn't
hot
mean
too.
That he can't talk with Kevin Durant or form a super team or go somewhere else. But as far as, like, right now, what they bring to the table, I don't know. I guess I just live here, and I want him to like it, and I want him to stay.
I hope so, too. I think we all do. And
I like him. I mean, I think he's very unique. I've got a lot of time for him. But this is the one thing I would say. You can't just live in the future and be like, boy, it'll be terrible. Like, let him play. Let him have a great season. What we say is not going to change his mind. It already sounds like, I mean, we had Josh Leuenberg on yesterday. Everyone that surrounds that team and has played with this guy or knows him, he's his own person. He doesn't conform. Like, ESPN's up here. We want to do a sit-down. I'm good. Sing us a Christmas. What's your favorite Christmas time story?
Not right now. Not in the mood.
What
are those, Nikes?
Yeah.
No, New Balance.
I got New Balance. Like, this guy beats to his own drum. Good on him. But, like, don't worry about the future with Kawhi. Worry about what he's doing right now.
I'm with you. Live in the moment because nobody knows.
Exactly.
And to make you feel a little bit better, again, not that this guy knows, but Bobby Marks, a longtime NBA executive, came on this morning. He was on First Up, and he said, I think they're going to make it to the finals, and he's going to stay.
There
so it's not like there aren't people out there that are connected that don't feel like this can work out for the Raptors.
Right.
We mentioned the movie Strange Brew the previous hour. Had never seen it. I think you said you had never heard of it
before. It's a shame.
Bob and Doug McKenzie, let's play this clip quickly because we wanted to get to it based on the Outside the Lines piece about all these different stadiums in North America and maybe a lack of sanitation at some of these spots. And we brought up Strange Brew. And here is just a little taste of Bob and Doug.
24 Elsinore, 1470.
I believe there'll be no charge on this too for a beer, thank you.
Excuse me?
Okay. We found this mouse in a bottle of Elsinore beer that we bought at your beer store, eh? And we heard, like, when that happens, you get your beer free.
It's in the Canadian Criminal Code, eh? Yeah. Like, there's legal precedent setting cases in law.
So, like, give us our free beer.
All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's outstanding.
It's the best.
Here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, you've heard of Strange Brew.
I've heard of it, but I got to be honest with you. I'm with O on this one. Haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
Thank you.
No.
It's garbage.
So Bob and Doug McKenzie were not a part of your life at some point in the 80s?
No, I mean, like, of course they were, they were funny to watch, but it's not like I was like, oh, good, they got a new movie out. I got to go catch that one.
Yeah.
I'm shocked by that.
I never really got into it.
Well, I guess I'm just thinking it's Canadian content, so I feel like it was just always on TV. Like, you guys lived in the States, I guess. Maybe that's why.
I was down there for 12 years, but I mean, I guess being a movie guy, but I always felt like, I'm a huge comedy guy, and I loved SCTV growing up, so anything tied to that, I just appreciated.
Yeah, now, I mean, like, who didn't love Johnny LaRue?
Yes.
Who didn't love Halfwits? which was the precursor to people that don't know of the Jeopardy skit on Saturday Night Live.
Right. Yes.
Like, it's so ridiculous. Like, you could not possibly not be entertained by it. Brilliant stuff.
Yes.
I guess we got to get a poll going. I'll get a poll going on Twitter. Is Strange Brew a Canadian classic? Like, do people... We'll find a way to phrase that properly, but I just assumed... Well, everyone kind of knew about it or had seen it.
But. I joke, like, now that I was in the media, like, when my friends would bug me from back home, they're like, you're Earl Cannonbear. Like, there was Floyd Robertson and Earl Cannonbear.
Floyd Robertson.
Right. Like, there's Lloyd Robertson here, the legend. There's Floyd Robertson on SCTV and Earl Cannonbear, who was Eugene Levy. Eugene Levy one time was eating his dinner while they were on air, and Floyd snapped. Like, it's...
That's what I deal with every single day on the show.
Exactly.
Every day. Well, all right, we'll see what the people say. Fire that up on Twitter. Leafs Lightning tonight, and this is obviously the hype is through the roof, but do you buy into this being a statement game for either team, both teams? Is that possible in December or what?
Well, in a sense, I guess. I think what I like about these games is there's so many games that just, you know, they kind of blend one into the other. These are two of the top five or six teams in the league, and I'm sure both want to see, what's all the noise about those other guys? And so they want to play. They want to beat them. They, you know, both teams want to. They want to see what the other guys got, see what they might need, see what, that guy's better than I thought he was. So that's what makes the game interesting for me. If, you know, I mean, you could lose 10-2 today, and it doesn't really matter come April, right? They're going to play three other times, but I think everybody wants to know, where are we at? What are we all about? What do we have that those other guys don't, or what do we need that they have?
I agree. But you know, when you look at it, too, you got Vasilevsky just coming off of, five and a half weeks. And, I think Tampa can look at this, and I was saying this to Hayes in the last hour, and it's no slight on the Maple Leafs because you just want to be part of the four or five teams. But think of how good Tampa has been for the last, 4 or 5 years? They had one outlier year where they missed the playoffs, but there was a bunch of injuries and stuff.
Yeah, and then one year they do, they always seem to get a good pick.
But they, yeah, they got a great
Hedman,
pick.
Drouin,
right.
Stamkos.
But what I'm saying is this team's made it to the finals. This team has been around. Like, to me, they've been a perennial team right at the top of the standings for 4 or 5 years now. That's what the Leafs are now pushed, thrust into that conversation. And it's hard to win. And like, you've got a measuring stick against a team, like the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. Tampa hasn't won the Cup with this group, which is scary to say because they're that good.
Aren't they kind of becoming the new Washington?
A little bit, yeah.
You know, like, you're like, man, are they going to ever get over the hump? Because they're really good again. And, you know, we're not at the point with Tampa yet where we were with Washington, where I think 99% of the people felt like, oh, yeah, the window's closed. Their best chance is over. And then all of a sudden they get it together and win the Cup. Like, I'm not that way with Tampa, not even close. But they're another team, like Winnipeg and like Toronto, they're going to run into the same problems here. You know, like, what do you think Braden Point's going to cost next year? Right? They don't have a lot of cap room.
Right.
Everybody's in the same little bogged down place. If you've got good young players, it really cramps up your cap. And so I guess the reason I bring that up is that you can't think, oh yeah, this window's going to last 5 and 6 and 7 years. It might not. This might be the best chance. And that's why I think teams are probably more aggressive or will be more aggressive when they get to February. We need a defenseman or something. Okay, now we got to go find it. We can't say, oh, we'll save our draft picks for 3 years from now. That's a bad idea.
Braden Point might cost the Lightning Tyler Johnson, Palat, and Killorn.
Just say, so would he be, is he going to be an $8 million player? A $7 million player? He's got 21 goals already.
Well he's not going to be a seven because he's already got more goals than Nylander scored last year, and it's not even Christmas yet.
So you're right. Like, Tyler Johnson's going to be the one guy. He's got a no trade too that kicked in, so they'll have to work with him a little bit. But I'm sure there'll be no problem moving him. Alex Killorn's got a bucket load of years left, but he's only at $4 million.
Right.
You know, so that they'll be able to, if he's the guy they decide they have to move, that'll work too. But you're right, oh, they're going to have to start. It's starting for them. You know, guys are going to have to go overboard here because you got to sign the big boys.
Well, Ray, we were talking about it yesterday. Like, you know, to throw them overboard to disrupt that team, maybe there's an offer sheet. That's when you start looking at it. And I'm sure they can match and start. But that's when you start disrupting the chemistry of a team where you've got Hedman and Stamkos looking pretty nice financially. Kucherov, I mean, he's making a lot of money, but it's still reasonable.
Well, the state tax, right? They're the team that I could see a lot of other teams in other states and provinces being like, all right, let's squeeze these guys because somehow they found a way to get Stamkos to take 8.5. And
right.
I think Hedman's at like 8.2 or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
it's 8. I thought, I mean, it was 8.6. Yeah.
It's a gross advantage for them that nothing can really be done about it, right? They've got the no state tax. They win. They're in the right spot. And so, you know, teams are going to have to combat that somehow. But you're right. So, like, you could offer sheet there. You could, you know, we talked a little bit about this the last couple of days. This is why I don't think there's anything that's more full of crap than the offer sheet or lack thereof in this league. Because you've got a chance to improve your team, and now you're going to have these players that are so young, that are so good. You're not offer sheeting a 27-year-old here, or 26-year-old rather. You're offer sheeting a 22-year-old that's got 40 goals. Like, how could these guys let it go by? Like, is it that much of a friends network that you can't ruffle somebody's feathers? I don't get it. We always hear, oh, it's one of 31 jobs. They're the toughest jobs to get. Well, then do what you can to keep it. You got to throw out an offer sheet? Throw it out. Some guy offer sheets. Your guy, figure it out later. Like, these are terrific players, man. I don't think you let anybody off the hook anymore.
Edmonds at 7.8.
What an unbelievable contract.
7.87.
For a top three defenseman.
You would have got 12 in the open market.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, it's complicated. And I mean, we're talking about state taxes. I don't know how many people I don't know all 50 states and their tax situation.
Well,
I
NHL,
don't even know Ontario's.
But in the NHL, it's Tennessee, yeah. It's Texas, it's Alberta.
Right, but the point I'm making is, like, you know,
I
we talked about 52 this.
52 states, by the way.
No, there's
what
many?
Did you just say?
Yeah, hold on a second.
I think there's 52.
Yeah.
No, we need to make sure that is on tape right there.
No, it is, Ray. Believe yes. me.
There's not 52 states?
There's 50. I know there's 50, but...
What about Alaska?
That would be included
that
in
that would
50.
Be one of the 50.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the 37 teams in the NHL, there's some really competitive ones.
Carrying on.
How many provinces are there?
14.
Let's not.
There's 14 now.
Let's not get into it. This guy just had a video tribute online.
Wow, that's true.
Leave him alone. He's that's feeling
well, you
good
know
about
he's
himself.
Tired. He was scouting in Victoria yesterday. He had to fly back for the show.
Me and Bobby had to go through the junior lines, and Ray, I didn't see you there, but we did it, and I got on a red eye, and here we go.
That's good work, Ole. Just inspiring.
Dedicated to his craft.
I'm pretty sure there's 52 states.
Yeah, probably.
It's all right. We're good. Close, it's 50, 100%.
No,
but
no, we're not good.
No, we're definitely not, but the fact that the show's in Canada, I think we can get away with it. If we were in the States and you were an American...
Okay, when Ray's done, and you can't look online, you can't go on your... We'll try to name all the states.
No, okay. We won't, but it's...
We'll do it off the air. We're not doing it on the air. Although maybe on the air could actually be pretty captivating.
Yeah, as soon as he's done, we're going to do it.
Okay. That'll be riveting stuff. Make sure you stream that online right at 5:30.
This could be. I will get that there right when we get around state 40.
Yeah.
When it's really going to hit big.
That's when Chicago will be named. That's the
why don't we do it right now? The four of us come together, put together the 50 states, if there's 50. Okay?
No, so we're not listing off the 50 states. For starters, we're not going to be able to do it. There's no way on the fly we're going to be able to name it.
And you need somebody taking notes.
It'll go south.
This is a little bit of a bigger endeavor, but I got to say, since you think there's 52, I think you would come in last place.
Yeah, because I'm crazy. A guy thought that the landing on the moon was not real.
Steph Curry.
There's another guy that thinks the world is flat.
Kyrie Irving.
So yes. I'm not crazy.
Well, the Steph Curry
stuff. There's 52 states.
Didn't NASA reach out to him and said, like, hey, we're going to...
Well, and he's walked it back. He's like, I was just kidding around. There's no way he was kidding around. But now, like, people have really been jumping on him.
Yeah, you're kidding around until you get called out.
Yes, because, you know, it's like... You're Steph Curry. There's a lot of kids that look up to you. You're floating out this conspiracy theory.
Well, wasn't it Shaq that said the world is flat, too?
No, Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving did, but I feel like Shaq might have been included as well.
I think there was something involved there.
I'm hoping Steph Curry's not helping the kids with homework.
No. And he really had a horrible game last night. And I wonder if the moon landing, NASA on the reaction, he's out throwing up bricks. He's like, God, I can't believe I said that on the record. Like, this is, people are really starting to bury me here.
It'll blow over.
Yeah, well, he'll be fine. I don't think he's too worried about it, but I would accept that invitation to NASA. Why not? How many people get that invitation?
It's a great tour. Like, it's
you've done it before?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Well, I like to, in cities that you visit, you like to do what's popular there, right?
All right.
It's quite interesting. I did it years ago, but it's still, I would love to, although I get claustrophobic, like I couldn't go into space, even though...
I don't think you're qualified anyway.
Elon Musk, but like, I mean, the trip to Mars, I think Lance Bass, the guy from...
NSYNC
bought...
Yeah, he's on the list.
He's on the list to go to Mars or something.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
No.
I couldn't do it. I get... claustrophobic.
You're an Earth guy.
Exactly.
More of an Earth guy. with Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. How about that Flames finale last night?
5-3 with a minute left. They can't get a save, though, too, like Philly can't. Like
Philly's up 5-3 with a minute left.
I was going to shut it off. I'm like, okay, bedtime. Then I'm like, nah, I'll just kind of... Then one, then two, then overtime. Boom.
And I feel bad. Like, Stoller is in over his head, and, you know, he's... I wouldn't say up and coming goalie, but he's had injury issues. He's a decent prospect, but like, you know, you're winning 5-3. The team's got to find a way to lock that down. Mike Smith, go back and watch the fourth goal against Dale Weiss's goal.
That's the ugliest goal I've ever seen in my life.
I don't know because
he's picking his left toenail while he shoots the puck. And
but
he,
it,
like,
I don't know what
net.
Happened. Like it is Radon Ray. If you saw that goal in particular.
I didn't see that one, no.
Just when you get a chance after we hang up, just go and watch Dale Weiss's goal. And I now, that happened, I think, 5 minutes into the period. They were down, and Smith finished the period, but then they put in Riddick in the third period. Now, I don't know the report out of Calgary. They said that Mike Smith wasn't right, so if he was sick or hurt or something, but they ended up battling back. And it was a crazy game and a crazy finish, and right now Calgary can't lose.
That division is pretty fascinating.
Like you're right, but it's... You
know, well, now there's some teams that are actually on good runs.
Right.
The Oilers are. Anaheim somehow is...
Ryan Getzlaf
put together a good run, and now, and of course Calgary's the best team in the league right now. They got the most points. They've been on the best streak. I don't know. There's something about teams that keep coming back though, and you're like, eventually, doesn't that have to dry up? Except they're pretty powerful. They're deep. Remember when at the start of the year, guys, we were talking about them being the one of the most disappointing teams of the year last year.
Yeah,
and they've been fun to watch, man. They have been,
but
they are exciting, and they shouldn't have won last night, yet they won again.
But that's the thing, like, to me, if you look at that roster, it's deep, it's talented, the back end can move, and Giordano's having an amazing season. The question mark was Mike Smith and David Riddick, and Riddick had a real nice stretch. Smith is coming off a 6-game winning streak where he's had an amazing stretch. Didn't work out for him last night, but they still found a way to... If they had stability in net, and I mean, like, just Smith's going to give you 50, Riddick's going to give you 30, and we trust what's going on there, that team is legit. They're very, very good.
It's funny, isn't it? They made a couple of changes. By the way, one of the changes was when they traded Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah.
How bad was he the other night?
In Carolina?
Oh my gosh. He was -4 in a 4-goal game. He was -5 actually. You know, he was awful. It just didn't... It was one of those nights like just nothing for him. He didn't look... I don't know. He didn't look like he was a top-end player.
No, and that's why some people in Calgary are like, it's not like he had a bad attitude or whatever. It's just... You want him to play big, you want him to play tough, and he didn't do it.
And also the thing, too, is they had I don't want to say an embarrassment of riches, but that defensive core on paper with Dougie Hamilton in Calgary looked really good. Hamina came over, they had Stone on long-term, Brody, and for some reason that mix didn't work. And Brody had a terrible season last year, not playing with Giordano. And you take Hamilton out of that, and the shift has been back on, and the pairings have settled down, and it wasn't... Remember, I don't know if you read this online, people were like, oh, Dougie Hamilton would go to museums, that's why they didn't like him. I thought it was ridiculous. Like, you're not going to trade a player because he's a little bit different. Like, that's... What you care about is if the player can play and play within your structure. And they ended up getting two nice players. Like,
Lindholm's been exceptional for him.
He's been exceptional because he fits in on that top line.
And I love the Carolina owner saying, we're trying to get a sniper now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Lindholm's career high was, 17 goals?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, but, I mean, he's playing with two elite players, and he's fit in real nice. But I think the trades worked out pretty much for both organizations, but sometimes it's addition by subtraction in a group where, like, they had a real good defensive core in Calgary, but it just wasn't working, that mix. So they move Hamilton out, and Giordano and Brody go back to work, and they've done a great job.
And the other guy, don't forget, too, in Carolina, is they traded Jeff Skinner for two draft picks and a prospect in Cliff Pugh, who's not a slam dunk by any stretch.
Right.
And so that's 37 goals out the window and 14 coming back. And, you know, somewhere in that -23, you know, we keep hearing about how Carolina leads the league in shots and all that, which they do, but you need somebody to finish, and they just don't have it.
Well, and I guess they're in Montreal tonight, and Pierre LeBrun was tweeting out that the Carolina Hurricanes have requested that they wear their red home jerseys at the Bell Center, and the Habs, I guess, have conceded to that, so they're going to wear their road whites at the Bell Center, because the Carolina owner doesn't like the white uniforms. So this guy...
That's so weird.
I've never heard that before.
Like, okay, I've never heard it either, but this is what I do know, is that if he doesn't like the uniforms, he can't just change them. You need to do it a year out, So if he wants to change the white Carolina jerseys, he can do it for the 2021 season, because merchandise has already been produced, and there'd be a backlog of jerseys, hats, et cetera, that they don't want, unless they want to buy them all back, which is not going to happen. So, you know, he asks to wear the Reds as much as he can, which is on the road. And I'm glad, because I think the dark uniform should be for the road, and the home team should wear the white uniforms anyway.
I agree.
Yeah, you guys have mentioned that before. Yeah. They flip.
You get to see the other team's visiting colors instead of the same white every time.
Mm-hmm. Every 10 years, it feels like they just flip, and that's what they'll do. They're probably due for it, and they'll do
it. I like the fact that they're going to have some Hartford
Whaler
jerseys coming around the corner here.
Why not?
I don't mind that.
See, I don't love that, because they've got no connection to the Whale. I love the jerseys, and I can guarantee you people are going to love them when they see them, because they're so different.
Marketing ploy. That's what it is. Yeah, it's marketing.
Of course he wants money. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like that.
No, I don't have a problem with that. Exactly what you're trying to do. All right, Ray. Leafs Lightning tonight.
We're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to come back with your 50 sticks.
We're going to try to name off
how
the
many
50.
Oh, now are we down to 50?
I thought there was 52, but apparently,
well, some people have pointed out, like Washington D.C. and then Puerto Rico.
You know what D.C. stands for?
District of Columbia.
You got
it. Does it stand for the state of Columbia? No, it's not a state.
True,
it's a city.
Yeah, well, I understand that.
But... yeah, but it's D.C. That's the state, D.C.
Okay.
We're going to go through our...
we've had enough of this.
Hey, guys, geography good, luck to you on, good luck to you on this, would you?
Yeah, make sure you jump on the app
tomorrow
and listen.
Well, why would I say Washington, D.C.?
Okay, Ray, we got to go.
Yeah, luck to you all.
All right.
Good luck.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's the 2019 Toyota Corolla, the safest vehicle on the road. See for yourself during Maple Toyota's Corolla-thon and get rates from 0% MapleToyota.com.
What state is Washington in?
It's not in a state.
Okay, here we go.
It's in a district.
It's the capital, and it's right. Not affiliated with a state.
So there's no state for Washington.
No, it's the District of Columbia. It is. Yes. It is not in a state. You really didn't. I think that might be more shocking than not knowing strange birds.
We're going to move this off air.
All right, we're going to try to name as many states as we can in the next 5 minutes. The results coming up.
No, we're doing it on air.
I'm not doing it.
Let's write them down and we'll see what we get. We'll get to this next. Amin Alhassan of ESPN will join us just after 6. Get his take on that Raptors win last night. They go into Oracle Arena and beat the Golden State Warriors by 20. By 20 without Kawhi Leonard. And they lose Jonas Valanciunas, dislocated thumb. He's got a cast on it. He had surgery quickly, and he's out at least a month. And that was tough to watch. Draymond Green, he was going for the ball. It wasn't anything nefarious or nasty. But you could see it with Valanciunas. Like, he looked at his thumb, and he's like, this is mashed up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in big trouble.
So he'd be out for what, do you think, a month?
I think more than that. If he's got the cast on for a month, I'll bet you he's minimum a month and a half. 6 weeks. No point in rushing him back. You know, Ibaka and Siakam, he's been coming off the bench anyway.
How big a blow? Mid-level?
Big enough because, I mean, he's a legitimate piece and he's a change of pace kind of guy. He's an old school type of big, and you take Siakam or Ibaka off and you put him in, and he's had limited minutes based on his career, but he's been more productive in less time. So he's been playing really well, and they're going to feel his absence for sure. I thought Greg Monroe stepped in and played really well after he got injured. He got them all you can ask for out of a big that doesn't get a ton of time on the court. When he does get out there, give me some solid minutes, and that's exactly what he did. And
they can win back-to-back without Kawhi. They can make it work.
Yeah, they're not going to fall off a cliff without Valanciunas.
No.
So they're in, I got to write this down. That's one I forgot. They're in Portland, Oregon.
Oregon. Yes.
Forgot Oregon.
So the prior segment, we were talking about the states in the United States of America, and you claim you have all 50 written down?
No, I wrote down 46. I'm missing 4.
Go ahead and tell us what you have in rapid-fire format 46.
Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, Alaska, Connecticut, Colorado, California, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Iowa, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Kansas, Louisiana, Maine, Michigan, Montana, Missouri, Mississippi, Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, New Hampshire, New Mexico, North Dakota, North Carolina, Ohio, Oregon, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, Tennessee, Utah, Vermont, Wyoming, West Virginia, Virginia, Wisconsin.
You forgot Florida and Alaska.
I did. No, I got Alaska. How did I forget Florida? No, I got Florida. I wrote Florida down.
Oh, you did?
I got Florida. I got both those two.
Do you have Kansas?
I got Kansas. We're not okay.
Yeah, we can't keep doing this.
This
is like we're in classroom trying to like.
It doesn't even matter. That was such a hero play by me too. Let me name off the 46 states. Like, who cares? And it's 50. I can't even think of them all.
You'll get them. It's just once you gloss over. I could look at the map and figure it out.
Well, no kidding. What do you mean?
I mean,
like
a blank map.
So you're saying if you look at like the continental United States, you could go through it and be like, all right, I think I know what that is.
Unfortunately, I think I've lived in like 16 of the places. So you're like, right. You move around a lot, you start to get acclimated with the area.
Mm-hmm.
So I've lived in the Midwest, I've lived out west, I've lived in the east for sure. I mean, south. So you can sort out. You know, the ones that always mess with me is like Vermont. You know, like tiny little states that you forget are like there.
There's so many of them in the states.
But it's
like there's so many you drive through.
Put it this way.
Who lives here? What is going on?
I will say this, and it's not a slight to our American friends. We know more about America than they know about Canada.
Oh, there's no, they're not a ton of, there's way more. This is the best. Now, people, idiots are texting in. Some guy writes in, New England, you missed it. Yeah. It's a region. New England. No. New England is the, like, it's like six or seven states combined.
What I love, when I was in North Carolina, it would be like, where are you from? Toronto. Do you know my friend Bill in Vancouver?
You know Dave?
Pardon me?
You know what I've noticed over the years?
Or, what time is it in Toronto? That's the same time as here.
Right. Yeah, we're both in the East. Yeah. Figure it out, pal. I find when I'm in the States, and Americans, you know, there's so many, there's 300 million of them. It's just like Canadians. You get some that are jovial and talkative, some that aren't. But I find a lot of times when they ask me, because they all want to know where you're from.
Yeah.
Because they're all from different states. Yeah. You know, I'm from the great state of Illinois. Oh, I'm from New Mexico or whatever. Right. And I find when they ask me, I'm like, actually, I'm Canadian. They just shut down.
They got nothing.
They're like, oh, okay, enjoy your stay. Like,
well, what are they going to say about it? I mean,
well, like, wouldn't you think that would be more interesting than meeting someone from your own country? That, like, if you meet someone who's from New Zealand, you're
they just have
New
Zealand association. They don't say, oh, you know, that bar or that restaurant, that buddy of mine, that guy that owns this.
Or chances are they probably have visited it. But when I say I'm from Toronto, that is one of the more popular cities down south. So you're like, I'm from Canada. Whereabouts? Well, I live in Toronto now. Well, that's like in Nashville the other day. I got picked up by a car and where are you from? Where are you going? Going to Toronto. Guy chatted up. Nice. Very, very friendly.
Okay, then.
But it depends on, lack of better words, like how interested they are in that country. If they're not interested in Canada.
No, listen, I'm not saying I have this persona of being an interesting guy anyway. And I'm not looking for stop and chats. I actually appreciate it. Let's get going here. I got no interest in an elevator ride where I got to break down your whole life or you're looking for details on mine. Maryland was one that I missed. Nebraska I missed. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
You did good.
We're trying, man. Okay. What else do we got?
We've had such a...
So many people are writing it.
We've had such a gong show of a show.
I know that.
They're talking about you saying you... Like, are they just saying stupid things?
No, I think they're trying to help out, but they're starting to name cities now.
Yeah. Miss Chicago.
Like, did you mention Seattle? I think you missed Seattle. And I appreciate the help, but you're not helping because that's like, just not going to cut it for
not
us.
Not going well.
All right. You know what? Let's get into this thing on ESPN.com, Outside the Lines. The title is What's Lurking in Your Stadium Food? So Outside the Lines reviewed food safety inspection reports for all 111 North American pro sports venues. So NFL, NHL, MLB, NBA.
Right.
I want to know the premise of this. Did they send out people to do Like, they go into a stadium, they order a hot dog, they put it in a Ziploc, and then take it to a lab?
No, I think what
they... Are they going to scare the hell out of people going to stadiums, or what the hell is this?
Honestly, I don't think it's going to scare anybody. I think people will be repulsed, and they'll be like, oh, that's gross, but then they're going to go to the games tonight, and they're like, I'm getting a dog, I'm getting a beer, like, I'm not going to change my routine.
You'd be surprised, though, this before you get into it, you know the stuff that is germy is like popcorn. Where the scoop is in there, and they got to stick their grubby hand in to get the scoop, and then scoop it out. I'll still eat it. I don't mind. I had a big thing of popcorn in Nashville the other day, and the scoop was in the middle of the popcorn, and the guy had to dive his grubby hand in there to get the scoop.
Yeah, and he was scratching his rear end.
Well, you don't know. Like that's before. I don't want to know, but I want to know.
I don't know.
Taint corn.
I don't think I want it. I don't want to know. I'd rather not because I know that it's not going to stop me.
Right.
So knowing, you know, ignorance is bliss in this particular case. I would like to know something, you know, if it's rampant. If there's an individual restaurant where it's been known like a lot of bad things are happening, you know, food poisoning is coming out of that place a lot. I'd like to know because then I will avoid it.
Yeah.
I'm not avoiding Scotiabank or the Rogers Center. I'm going to the games.
Yeah. Give us the details.
Okay, well, this is for it.
What if the chicken penne had an issue?
Never would.
How dare you suggest that?
I'm just saying.
You
like,
know
what
our guy guards
back?
That with his life.
With his life.
Yeah, but... I mean, I'm just saying, what if it came back? Like, we were at this Canadian venue, and there was a chicken penne that was just riddled with...
That alumni box is squeaky clean.
That's right.
I'm not suggesting it's not. I'm just saying, what if a report came back?
So, basically, I think what they did is they got their hands on individual health inspection reports. Right. So they didn't send out people individually. They just got it and they combed over it. This is why you don't judge a book by its cover, because Oracle Arena, where the Raptors were last night, I think they're knocking it down. I know the Warriors are leaving it. They're moving to San Francisco. It's in Oakland. I think it's in kind of a shady area. It's been around for a while. It is number one on the list. The best service you can get, from a sanitation perspective, from a...
Oracle is?
Yes. Oracle is number one, which I would have figured just based on stereotypes alone.
I figured I had the middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack or worse, because they're leaving it, and it's an old, and it's in Oakland. Oakland doesn't have a great rep. So Oracle Arena in Oakland is actually the most sanitary arena, according to this. Spectrum Center is the worst, which is in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh. But where the
That's where the Hornets play.
Wow.
And, so I guess it's not great. But as for the Toronto spots, they're both right in the middle of the pack.
Is there criteria here that we're missing? Like, is it, they're just saying that, like, what type of controlled test did they do?
It's about the food, essentially. Okay. So they tested the food. And Outside the Lines reviewed and collected more than 16,000 food safety inspection reports from health departments that monitor the 111, you know, pro stadiums.
Yeah.
So the review of routine inspection reports from 16 to 17 found that about 28% of the venues, half or more of the food service outlets, incurred a high-level violation.
I mean, there is high-level violation.
Yeah. There's analytics for this provided by Hazel Analytics.
Really?
So bad Corsi at the Spectrum Center when it comes to the food. And their Fenwick has really got to pick it up.
Who's in the dumpster? Who is the absolute monster of the group?
Well, it's Charlotte, North Carolina, the Palace of Auburn Hills, which I didn't even think was...
We should try and find out,
play there anymore,
what
Pistons.
Their specialty is.
North Carolina's the worst one.
Well, yes. I mean, based on these standards, Yankee Stadium's really bad. Yeah, and yet it's relatively new. Yankee Stadium's been open for like a year.
It's probably...
About a decade.
Yeah, but it's...
And expensive food.
I know, but
really
they're handing you something, and they're doing it with a bare hand. That's probably where the violations come.
Mm-hmm.
Great food, but then the guy handing it to you is you know,
I hear
a
you.
Little bit suspect.
Rogers Center was 76 on the list, and Scotiabank was 62.
I'm still eating there.
So am I. I'm going to the games.
Chicken penne forever.
It's not going to change my habits. All right, Amin El-Hassan on the Raps win last night, what it means for them and their image and reputation league-wide. And Bob McKenzie coming up, Leafs in Tampa tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. All right, Amin El-Hassan will join us of ESPN on the Raptors win last night. They're back-to-back, really, at the Clippers, at the Warriors. They beat Golden State by 20 last night. And, you know, you got to give credit to Kyle Lowry as well. He was in a bad spot leaving Toronto, heading out west. He was in the worst slump of his career. He sounded dejected. You could tell it was kind of eating away at him, and heads out west. And I thought he was great last night. And, you know, he's still leading the NBA in assists, leading the NBA in taking charges. So,
doing all right.
Yeah, I don't need you to put up 30 on this team. There's a lot of guys who can contribute points, but as long as you're moving the ball and you hit the open shots and keep playing tenacious defense, then Kyle's an incredibly valuable piece.
And by the way, when Kawhi's out, step up, and he did.
That's right. Well, that is one part of the discussion that's come out of these two games. You know, can Kyle and Kawhi find some cohesion when they're both on the court?
Yeah.
You know, because, and you saw it earlier in the year, Kyle had a great start, Kawhi did as well, but you know, a lot of times when Kawhi goes off, obviously Kyle kind of fades a little bit.
Right.
And now that Kawhi isn't there, Kyle stepped up. Where if you look at Golden State, they're a perfect example. When they put up 140 on teams, it's because they all are contributing big numbers. You know, sure, one guy might have 50, but another guy's got like 38.
Right.
So you need Kyle and Kawhi. You know, Siakam has been great. I thought Ibaka played really well again last night. So they're off to a great start, and they're sweeping California. I mean, Josh Lewenberg was like Rain Man last night on Twitter. Do you see all his tweets about all these different records and all these different stats?
I didn't see it, but it's he does such a good job. Like, he's very dialed in there.
Yeah, I got to find it, but I'm pretty sure he said the first time in Raptors history, which is not a surprise, they swept California. They beat the Lakers, the Clippers, Golden State, Sacramento.
It's impressive.
Yeah, pretty well done. Overdrive has a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs taking on the Red Wings December 23rd. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And tomorrow, we'll give you the final clue, and the phone lines will be open. Today's clue: this Maple Leaf played for two other teams, including the Minnesota Wild. This Maple Leaf played for two other teams, including the Minnesota Wild. I know who it is.
The Minnesota Wild?
Mm-hmm. I know exactly who it is now.
I know.
I think he might be in Tampa, Florida tonight.
Exactly.
We'll see. All right.
Fourth liner.
Yeah. With the abilities to move up the lineup. 52 Tampa? States. Yes, he plays for Tampa.
I have no idea.
He plays for the Maple. I think he plays for the Leafs. I can't give it away. It doesn't matter.
I can't.
Amin Alhassan, Bobby Mack, Leafs Tampa tonight. We'll tee it up next.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.